around the love for all the saints. We are introduced to Christ's mission on earth, not just through his death and resurrection, but also through his teaching about the kingdom of God. And I think one of the most well-known portions of scripture is the Great Commission. The final instruction Jesus gave to his disciples as he was ascending to heaven. And for me, so special as summarizing what we are meant to do while we wait for his return. And it starts, of course, here in verse 18, where it says, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth had been given to me, which is a profound statement. And then, of course, the instruction. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. So we are introduced to the mission of the church that is not just local, but translocal and global. When Jesus told a Jewish disciple group that they must take what they have received from Christ, his teaching and his salvation, the gospel, to all nations. And for them it was quite radical as Jews, because they were taught not to interact with the Gentiles, but only with the Jews. And so Jesus was quite radical in his instruction that they should go to all the nations and make disciples of Christ of all nations, baptizing them, inducting them into Christianity, and teaching them everything that they have received. And this great promise that he will be with them always. Last time I preached about this concept of Jesus saying, I'm with you always. Today I want to speak about this mission of the church to go beyond the local and beyond. In Mark 16 verse 15 we read Jesus' summary of this great commission here. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Again, we are introduced to this concept of taking what we have received, not just locally, but take it beyond ourselves globally. And so part of the vision of the church in Hermanus is translocal, which includes missions and helping other churches to spread the gospel, to encourage, to edify the church, the body of Christ. And what I love about us as a church is our giving heart in times of need. I remember a number of years ago with the xenophobia and so many foreigners had to flee Swelihle because of the violence, that the church housed more than 250 people here. We provided bedding and food and medical care and support and encouragement. It was such a beautiful picture of the church reaching out to the community beyond itself. And then when it was COVID, the church gave and we inspired others to give, and more than 2 million rands worth of food parcels was distributed through the church. It was an amazing time just to see the generosity of the church, starting off the giving spontaneously and encouraging others to do the same. And then, of course, we have the body serve account through which we can help those who have need within the church. It's a great reflection of the generosity of this congregation. These are all expressions of love and ministry towards our local community, over and above our tithes and offerings which we give to the local church. And it is such a privilege to be part of such a giving community. But today I want to share about another aspect of our ministry to the greater body of Christ, especially in the context of us going to Ukraine in a time of war. Many people ask me, why are we doing that? We have been looking and praying through Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 11 to 16. And we've been fasting and asking the Lord to give us revelation concerning his heart for church. And I just want to remind us of two verses in that portion that we meditated on. The beginning is, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Part of the aim of church and structure and leadership and equipping in church is ultimately to edify the body of Christ. And then verse 16, it continues to say, of whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its shares, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And again, we are introduced to this concept that the purpose of all this is to edify the body of Christ in love. Edify the body of Christ in love. And we know that the body of Christ is not just this congregation. It is all of the church in the world. Together we form the bride of Christ. And so the purpose of church is not just local but translocal. It's not just this part of church. It is the whole church. And that we are equipped to edify the church in love. And that we all have a part to play. It's very interesting, this word edify in Greek literally means to build up the church. As a metaphor, it means to encourage others to grow in their faith, to encourage others to grow in their faith through word, deed, and love. And so it's such a beautiful phrase, to edify the body of Christ in love. Edifying the body of Christ in love is central of the mission of church. We come together for that reason. Ephesians 1, Paul puts it this way, and this is what I want to focus on this morning, is that church is not just about the local church. It is about the whole church. It's not just about the saints in Hermanus, it's about the saints everywhere. And Ephesians 1, Paul starts off like this. He says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. There are two things that Paul mentions in regard to the Christian witness. It's firstly, your faith in Christ. And secondly, your love for all the saints. These were Gentile Christians in a place that Paul's not been to yet, but heard of their faith. He said, when I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, that settled it for me that you must be Christian. And I do not cease to give thanks for you and make mention of you in my prayers. These are Gentile Christians that not only had love for their own local Christian community, but all the Christians everywhere. And Paul gives thanks for this. Paul makes mention of the same thing to the church in Colossians. In Colossians 1 from verse 3 to 6, he says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and of your love for all the saints. And then Paul continues to write to explain that this faith in Christ and the love for all the saints is a response to the gospel. It is a response. It is the fruit of the gospel taking heart into, taking ground and root into the hearts of men and women when they have faith in Christ and love for all the saints. He continues to say, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before the word of truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. And so faith in Christ and love for all the saints is the fruit of the gospel. Paul writes to Philemon the same thing. He says, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have towards the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. What a powerful introduction to a letter to a fellow believer. The hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. When we spoke to the church in Ukraine, as we were planning to visit them, I asked them, in this time of war, with everything going on, would it be not more beneficial for you if we send you the money that we would have spent traveling to you, that you can use the money? They said, no, please don't do that. Come. We want you to come. Because when the war broke out, everybody left Ukraine. All the embassies closed and all the foreigners left. And we feel alone. Please don't send us the money. Come to us. And so we are going. We are going to encourage, to build up, and to edify them in their time of need. We are sending a team of experienced counselors to equip the church in trauma counseling, both adult and child therapists. But we're also going to love them and to encourage them and to tell them that they are not alone. Therefore, we would like you to consider to take some time to write the letter in your own hand. Write the letter for a Christian in Ukraine. It doesn't have to be a long letter. It can be a scripture. And I'm praying for you. You can sign your name. You don't have to put your surname. Make it personal. As an extension of one brother to another, one sister to another, one father to a father, a mother to a mother, a child to a child. Will you please consider writing a letter? It doesn't have to be long. pray and ask God for a scripture and a word of encouragement to someone who is suffering in war, in time of great need and fear and uncertainty, to edify, to encourage them, to build them up in the Lord. So we want to ask you to consider that and bring your letter next week to church. We want to ask you to prayerfully consider making a donation so that we can also bless them with finance. We're not going to take up an offering today for Ukraine, but you can support us by buying a Boerewors roll and some chips. But more than that, we want you to pray and ask the Lord what you should give towards Ukraine in this time of need. And then next week, we're going to take up an offering, not a physical one, but an electronic one. We would ask, because most people do electronic banking today, there will be an offering basket for Ukraine, but we want you to consider an amount next week to pay into the mission account and make your reference Ukraine. And then we know the money that's going into the account with the reference Ukraine is going straight towards the church in Ukraine. And then I want to ask you to also to pray for us as a team going. Already there is some resistance in getting the Schengen visa. Ukraine has given us a visa, but we need to travel through Europe. And they're always suspicious of people going to Ukraine at this time, especially if you're young. I think Johnny and Smitty and myself, we're old enough. They don't think we're going to fight, but please pray for our visas. We're also from South Africa, which is part of BRICS, which is not favorable in Ukraine, since we're in partnership with Russia. But please pray for us, for those visas to come through. And then to pray for the church. The church in Dnipro is where we're going, and we're going to spend most of our time. We're also going to be with the church in Kiev for one day. But most of our time we're going to be in Dnipro, and we're going to minister there and edify the church through love, but also equipping them how to deal with trauma and how to counsel people with trauma. And we've also are going to be there to do other courses that might be helpful for them. So next week we're going to take up the offering. So we want to give you some time to pray about it. There's also a WhatsApp group, a Ukraine WhatsApp group, if you want to pray more strategically and specifically for the needs as things happen. You'll find there at the missions board there at the entrance. You will find the mission account details, but also the WhatsApp group, so that you can join that group for more information. Paul writes to the church in Corinthians around the same request I just made. The church in Jerusalem was suffering, and Paul was asking for a collection to be made for the needs of the saints. There's actually three chapters about this in 2 Corinthians. I'm just going to read one of those three chapters concerning this request. I'm going to read chapter 9. Please bear with me as we read together. Now, considering the ministry to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians. At Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Yet I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this request, that, as I said, you may be ready. Lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and to prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudgingly obligation.
But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiently in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he who is dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now, may he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberty, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of the service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for your obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and of your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. What an indescribable gift it is to meet the needs of fellow believers in Christ Jesus. When we give from a place of generosity, not obligation, but from love. The NIV puts it this way. It says, the service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. You know how often when people are in need, they call out to God for help. God, please help us in our need, in our lack. Our giving can be God's answer to their prayer. That will lead to many thanksgivings to God. That's why Paul calls this an indescribable gift, because not only is it meeting the needs of people, it's actually causing people to praise God. It's causing people to praise God for His provision. And we have the privilege to be part of that. And so I want to encourage us to be part of this indescribable gift, an answer to prayer. That God will be thanked and worshipped through our giving. Paul calls it an act of ministry and service. Verse 13, he says, because of the service, that's the next one, verse 13. Yes, yes, that is now verse 13. It is a cue for the back. No, I think they're having technical problems. I'll read it anyway. Because of the service which you have proven yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. What a powerful reality of meeting the needs of our brothers and sisters that are in need. Not only that, their hearts will be connected to ours. It says the following, it says, and their prayers of their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. Not only will they worship God for His provision through us, they will also be praying for us. And from their hearts, there will be a connection with us and us with them. As we give from our abundance into their lack, there's also a connection from their heart to ours. And that's really what we're also trusting the Lord for, is to build a continuous relationship with the church in that city, to continue to edify and love them and build up his kingdom through them. And so I want us to take some time this morning and start with this process by praying. We are all together now and we have some time. And I want to ask us to maybe turn to one another in groups of 3, 4, or 5. If you could maybe just, where you are seated, just turn your chairs around. And I want us to just for a moment, just pray for the church. We are together. And so let us pray. So I want us just to turn where you are. Make little circles of 4 or 5 people. You should be in a circle now. If you don't know each other, quickly introduce yourselves. Quickly introduce yourselves. And then I want you to pray for those 5 points. Let's pray for the church in Ukraine. Let's pray for ourselves that we'll be willing to write a letter of encouragement, that God will also lead us and give us a word, a scripture to encourage. Let us prayerfully also consider a donation for the church in Ukraine. Let us pray for the team that is going practically for their visas and also their safety. And then lastly, and most importantly, that the church in Dnipro will be edified, will be encouraged, will be strengthened, will be built up in this time of need. Let's pray together. Yes, Father, we thank you that when we were in need, when we were weak and powerless and lost and dead in our sins, when we were most vulnerable, you came to us. You left your glory and your riches, and you humbled yourself to become one of us, so that we may be saved. You became poor so that we may become rich. Lord, thank you for this amazing grace in which we stand. And not only that, but that you grant us this message of hope, of joy, of peace, and above all of love. Lord, I pray that as we go, not just to Ukraine, but from this place into our own community, we will remember what you have given us, and that we will continue to be beacons of hope, of love, of joy, of peace, and of faith. Grant us, Lord, to encourage one another here, as we also encourage others abroad. Thank you that you have given us this message. But more than that, you've promised that you will be with us as we go with it, as we share it, as we make disciples of you. Lord, I pray that you'll help us never to forget this privilege we have. Teach us, show us, Lord. We do not know how, but we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are with us, that you are in us, that you've given us gifts, and that you are our mentor to help us. Lord, I pray that you will manifest yourself through us, that we will be known, seen, and proved to be Christians, followers of Jesus, followers of his way, seen to have his Spirit within us in the way we love each other and we love those outside. Lord, I pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.